I want you to pray with me as we prepare our hearts for God's word this morning. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity we have, Lord, to worship you and to hear from you. Father, we pray that you would speak into each and every life, that not one of us would leave the same, that not one of us would leave not having heard from your Spirit today. Father, have your way in us. Be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I remember when I was a teenager, back in the 90s, okay, 70s, when the phone would ring and it was for you, we were actually glad. And now, well, most of us, well, we have our phones with us all the time, but, you know, they ring so much that a lot of the time we screen our calls out. For many, many years, I just wouldn't screen my calls. I took all my calls, and for some, that seemed a little strange for a pastor, but I just don't have a problem with taking people's calls. I did learn to screen my calls in the last few years, though, just because of all the sales calls and all these weird, anybody get these calls where there's nobody there? And all kind, I mean, they just rings all the time until you finally just get to the place where, you know, you just have to screen some of your calls. And sometimes we screen our calls because we see who's calling and we know them and we don't want to talk to them. Sometimes we screen our calls because, well, there's certain issues that we're trying to avoid. But I want to encourage you this morning, you need to be careful that you don't screen the Lord's call. I want you to know that there is a call for you, for every single one of us. You know, the Christian life starts with a call. Jesus says in Luke 5:32, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Every single one of us, he called us. At our very worst, he calls us to himself. But there is also a call for us to serve. There is a call for us to answer the cause of Christ. There's a call for us to minister to others. There's a call for you. It's the Lord. He has an opportunity for you. You know, each one of us has unique abilities and giftings, and there's a call on our life for us to use those gifts and abilities. He has uniquely gifted us to fulfill his call on our life. If we don't answer that call, we miss part of the plan and the purpose of God. We miss the joy and the fulfillment of doing his work in his will. I remember when the Lord called me into ministry. It was really a rather simple event. I didn't hear an audible voice. I didn't see a miraculous writing on my bedroom wall or anything. But I had the opportunity to lead a young man in a sinner's prayer. And when I did that, there was something that happened on the inside of me that I knew that I could never be satisfied doing anything else. It changed me. And I realized that that was where I found joy and fulfillment. But I believe that for each and every one of us, there is a call. And when we answer that call, that's where we find real joy, real fulfillment in life. I think that's what Jesus was talking about in John 4:34 when he said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." That was the thing that satisfied Jesus. You know, sometimes you eat a big meal and it makes you feel nice and full. I'm talking about your body, your flesh. I experienced it last night, one of those times when I got too full. But I want you to know that there's something that will make your soul feel full. It's when you answer the call of God and you know that God has used you in some way to minister to somebody else, to make a difference in somebody else's life. I want you to understand now, some are chosen for great tasks. They are called for specific things, and there are those like Moses and David who were chosen by God to lead God's people. There's people like Billy Graham who was chosen to reach millions. There's some like Ken and Becky Dornhecker who were chosen to reach some who maybe the rest of us think are unreachable. There's some like Tommy Grover who's chosen to stand and fight against human trafficking. There's some who are chosen like Josh and Katie Weathers to build a home in India. And see, there are many who are chosen for a special task, but you need to understand this, though, that all of us are called. All of us are called to love one another. All of us are called to the Great Commission, to go into all the world and make disciples. Listen, all of us are called to minister to others. There's none of us that are exempt. It doesn't matter how young you are. When the Lord called Jeremiah, he said, "I'm just a child." And the Lord said, "Don't say to me, 'I'm only a child.' I've called you to be a prophet to the nations." It doesn't matter if you're 80 years old. Do you realize that Moses didn't start leading God's people until he was 80 years old? Remember Caleb at 85, he said, "I'm ready to take the mountain." I'm just telling you that whatever age you are, God still has a call. You see, there are no accidents. There's not anybody that God just kind of passed over, and there's not anybody that the Lord considers to be useless and worthless. No, he has a purpose for each and every one of us. There's something that he's called us to do. You can't obey the command to love or the commission to go without also accepting the call of God on our life to live for him and to be used by him. Now, most of us are familiar with the story of the Good Samaritan. It's a story that Jesus told. It's about a man who was on a trip, and as he went, he was robbed, beaten, and left for dead on the side of the road. And then a priest came by and a Levite passed by. And when they saw the man, the Bible says, they just passed by on the other side. But then there was a Samaritan. Now listen, the priest and the Levite, they were the ones who should have known what to do. They were the ones who were qualified, but they didn't do anything. It was the Samaritan, the least likely candidate, the one who maybe in the view, in the eyes of others, didn't have what it took to help somebody. But it was the Samaritan that went out of his way to help this man. He bandaged up his wounds and took him to an inn and paid for the cost of his care. And he said, "If there's any more cost," he says, "I'll take care of it when I come back." And here's what I want you to see. You see, we can be religious and we can say that we love others and we can say that we want to reach the world, but until we're willing to personally answer the call and get involved, we're just passing by on the other side. There's a call on our life to serve, to minister, every one of us. It's not a popular message in the Church of America today, but it's a message that we need to hear. So many that are missing out on the blessing of fulfilling the call of God in their life. Listen, to answer God's call is simply to get involved where God gives you opportunity and wants to use you. Luke 9:23-24, Jesus says, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." You see, it's not just about doing what we want. No, he says, if we're going to come after Jesus, then you're going to have to deny yourself. And then he says this, take up your cross. He's not talking about us taking up a physical cross. That's ridiculous. What is he talking about? He's talking about us taking up the call of God on our life, taking up the purpose of God in our life. And he says, it's not an accident now, he says, daily, daily. And he goes on in verse 24, he tells us that whoever will save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for his sake will find it. And I'm telling you, that's where the real life is. It's when you lay down your own selfish life and just doing what you want, and you take up the cause of Christ. You take up the call of God daily. That means that each and every day it looks something like this. Lord, what do you want me to do today? Who can I help today? Who can I minister to today? How can I make a difference? That daily we take up that cross and follow Jesus. I realize that all of us have some basic responsibilities and requirements of the Lord in our life, and that those things are part of our calling, that if you are married, then you have a calling to be a good husband, a good wife. If you're a parent, you have a calling, a high calling, to raise godly children. You have a calling to take care of your family and work and provide for your family. But I want you to understand, though, that there is also a call on your life to be a part of what God is doing in this earth today and what he's doing through the church. Sometimes we kind of get hung up on a specific thing where we want to say, well, I'm called to preach, or I'm called to sing, or I'm called to write. Listen, whatever you might say I'm called to, you need to put this over, you need to realize there's a bigger picture. Put this over it all. We're all called to serve. We're all called to love others. We're all called to minister to others. Jesus, his cross was literally to come and bear the cross, to die on the cross for the sins of the world. That was his call. But Jesus also washed feet. And he said, you should go and do likewise. And I'm just telling you that too often we miss the call of God because we think that we're too good for something, or that's not for us. We miss the opportunities that God brings across our path. We pass by on the other side. No, we need to say, Lord, how do you want to use me? Jesus said, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. There is a great harvest. Jesus wasn't talking about getting a big crowd out. You know, it's amazing when you read the Gospels, you see that Jesus, well, he acted a little different than a lot of preachers today. Jesus would actually try to get away from the crowds a lot of the time. He didn't have any trouble getting the crowd out. No, he was more concerned about having some alone time with God. But I want you to understand, when Jesus is talking about a harvest, he's not just talking about a great crowd. He's talking about there's a lot of people whose lives need to be changed. There's a lot of people who are ready to come to the Lord. But here's the problem, he says, the workers are few. Well, Jesus has an answer. He says, pray the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into the field. We need to be praying, amen? We are praying the Lord will send laborers into the field. The harvest is great. What we need is more workers, more laborers. That's what laborers are, right? Workers. Are y'all with me? Listen, let me tell you a little secret about preachers, all right? Even if you don't get it, act like you do and he'll move on. Workers. Jesus says the problem is there's not enough workers. So pray that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into the field. Do you know what? When we pray that, we got to be willing to be the answer to that prayer. See, somebody has to answer the call to work with the alcoholic or the drug addict. Somebody has to answer the call to work with the one who's going through a divorce. Somebody's got to answer that call to be there for the one who just lost their job. Or do we pass by on the other side? There are people in your workplace. There are people at your school whom God will bring across your path with need in their life. And you will have the opportunity to minister to them, to help them, or you can just pass by on the other side. Oh, we have some great friendly people here at Grace, and they just seem to be gifted at welcoming new people. But I want you to understand something. This church is not all that it could be. Because there's some who need to step up and fulfill their call. Maybe that new family that comes through the doors next week will stay and their life be changed because you befriended them. I'm just telling you, we all have a part in this. You see, if God sends us 20 more children, their harvest is great. If God sends us 20 more children, there's going to have to be some more people that are ready to work with children. We got to answer that call. I'm telling you, there's a great harvest among children, but some people just pass by on the other side. The need is for more workers and less critics. You know, you can be an art critic, you can be a music critic, you can be a food critic, but you can't be a church critic because there's just you and me. I know this day and time, there's a lot of people that want to criticize the church. Well, you should never criticize another man's bride, and Jesus is the groom, and he's coming for his bride. And I'm just telling you, we don't need to be criticizing, we need to be working. Serving the Lord, involved, doing what we can. You know what? I found that people that are really working for the Lord, I'm not talking about those who hold position and title or pretend to be serving. I'm talking about those that are really working for the Lord. They don't have time to criticize. No, they realize there's things that are more important, like reaching the person who doesn't know the Lord yet. I want to tell you some things about the call of God. When you answer the call of God, it's not always convenient. Don't you hate getting a phone call in the middle of dinner? Well, that's a good time to turn your phone off, right? You turn it off for church, right? Turn it off for dinner so you don't get a call right in the middle of dinner. But I want you to realize that Jesus missed lunch when he ministered to the woman at the well. That's when he said those words, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And I'm just trying to tell you that sometimes the call of God will inconvenience you. It will put you out. If you're going to do anything for God, I can assure you, it'll put a demand on your time and your energy. It'll interfere with your life. And some people don't want to answer the call of God just because it's inconvenient. Sometimes the call of God is contrary to what you want. It's not my will, as Jesus prayed, but your will be done. There will be times when you have to deny yourself. Well, we already read that verse, didn't we? Deny yourself, take up your cross. You see, take up the call of God daily. We all know the story of Jonah. It's a story about a man who didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. He was swallowed by a big fish, and after 3 days, he was spit out on the beach. Teacher was talking about whales in her classroom one day, and a little girl raised her hand, and when she was recognized, she said, "Teacher, Jonah was swallowed by a whale, and he lived in the whale's belly for 3 days and then came out." The teacher, seeing an opportunity to straighten this little girl out, she said, "You don't really believe that story, do you?" The little girl said, "Well, sure I do. It's in the Bible." The teacher said, "Well, how could Jonah have survived in the belly of a whale for 3 days?" She said, "I don't know. When I get to heaven, I'll ask him." And she said, "Well, what if Jonah isn't in heaven?" She said, "Then you can ask him." Oh, yeah. But why was Jonah in the belly of the whale? He was in the belly of the whale because God told him to preach to the city of Nineveh. Nineveh was a city of people who were wicked, who were doing wrong. And God was going to send judgment on them if they didn't repent. I'm telling you, we're living in a time where there's a lot of wicked people. They're doing wrong. You know what Jonah wanted? You know why he didn't want to go to Nineveh and preach? Because he wanted God to judge them. He wanted those people to get what they deserved. Sounds like a lot of Christians today. And so he gets on a boat going the wrong direction. God causes a storm to come up. Now I want you to hear me say this very plainly. All of your storms are not caused by God. You can be right in the middle of God's will and go through a storm. But this was a storm that God sent to try to turn this man to go the right direction. Well, when the men on the boat realized what was going on, they threw Jonah overboard and he was swallowed by a big fish. And Jonah got a real change of attitude while in the belly of the fish. All of the sudden, doing God's will didn't seem so bad after all. And so he cried out to the Lord, and when he was, well, after his three-day cruise was over, right? He was spit out on the beach, and now he was ready to do God's will. You know, there's a message there, and I'm not going to go into it very far, but I just want to say that sometimes it's not easy to do God's will, but it's way better than not. And it happened just as Jonah feared. The people repented and God spared them, and it made Jonah mad that God was so merciful. But I'm telling you, it is always a blessing when you are used of God. When God accomplishes his plan and purpose through your life, it's a blessing. But know this, it will not always be what you want. The call of God is not always comfortable. Peter was not comfortable going to Cornelius' house. Cornelius was a Gentile, and all the people in his household were Gentiles. And Peter, as a Jewish believer, didn't want any part of hanging out with some Gentiles. And Peter didn't really believe that the Holy Spirit could come on these Gentile people. He was uncomfortable with all of that. And so God gives him a vision three times to change his heart so that he'll do something that he was uncomfortable with. And here's what I'm trying to say to you is that if you're going to answer the call of God, sometimes you're going to be uncomfortable. I mean, God may call you to work with children, and you're just thinking, not me. Yeah, could be. God may call you to reach Muslims. Some of you are thinking, there is no way that I'm going to minister to a Muslim. I'll minister to them with my 45. I'm just telling you, there's a lot of weird attitudes going on in the body of Christ right now. We need to answer the call. He wants us to reach people. And sometimes it's going to be uncomfortable. The call of God many times will lead us into areas where we are beyond and outside of our natural abilities. You see, when we are willing to serve God and be faithful in the things that we can do, then many times God will call us to do something beyond ourselves, and he will empower us and anoint us. Remember, it wasn't the self-assured Moses at 40 that God used, but it was the Moses at 80 who said, I can't speak. Why would they listen to me? He was ready to be used by God. You see, you need to know this, that God does not call you because you're gifted. He gifts you because he calls you. And our weaknesses are not a problem for God, but sometimes our strengths tend to get in the way. The call of God will involve work. A four-letter word, right? So is lazy. I'm just telling you, in this day and time, we all know this. There's this attitude about work. And I see it all the time as a pastor, that in our culture where people have to work at their job and they have to do housework, well, the last thing we want to do is find another way to work. But I'm just telling you that the call of God will involve work. That's the straight up. I'm also going to tell you, there's a lot of churches, you're not going to hear that. In fact, there are churches today where they have enough money flowing that they can just hire somebody to do everything. You don't have to do anything but come in and put your feet up, drop your offering in. Amen. But I want to tell you, you'll miss the great blessing, the joy, the fulfillment of doing what God has called you to do. Every one of us, there is a call on your life, and it's going to involve work. Ephesians 4:12 says that God's people are to be equipped, to be prepared for the work of the ministry. In Ephesians 2:10, it says this, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, you have been created by Christ Jesus. You are his workmanship. Now listen, and he has prepared works for us to do. There are things that we are specifically designed to do for good works. We have some children's workers who are here at least 4 hours on Sunday morning. Now, part of that 4 hours, they actually get to come and sit in one of the services, because we believe that if you're going to serve, you got to have something to give out. You can't give what you don't have. And so we believe it's very important that our workers are able to receive, that they're in one of our services. But most of that 4 hours is spent serving, ministering to little people, making a difference in their life. Now, I'm talking about a couple of workers I know of specifically. They hear that 4 hours on Sunday morning, and then during the school year when the growth groups are meeting, they're here for the blitz, and they're here for at least 3.5 hours on Sunday evening. The same workers I'm talking about right now. And then on Wednesday night, they're here for at least 1.5 hours, and none of that includes any prep time that they spend getting ready for those classes. I don't know about you, but something about that doesn't seem right to me. I understand the sacrifice that they're making, the commitment, and they do it joyfully, and I'm thankful for that. But I'm just saying, there are some people who need to step up and answer the call and say, hey, I'm not going to let them have all the fun. I want in on this. Jesus said, the workers are few. I know some people that just invite people to church all the time. I mean, they just, every week it seems like I meet some new people and they say, well, yeah, they invited me over and over and over. There's some people that just are great at it. But what if all of us invited somebody to church this week? What would happen? Don't you think we would see a greater harvest? You might not be as good at it as some people. I mean, some people just have that personality, you know. They know everybody. They're friendly and gregarious. You know, like they say pastors are supposed to be that way. Y'all figured out I'm not that guy. But anyway, everywhere they go, you know, they meet everybody. They know everybody. And they're always inviting people to church. Maybe you're not that person. But can you invite somebody? What a difference it would make if we all invited somebody. I'm just telling you, it's not supposed to be where there's a few who do it, but we all have a part in this. We all have a call from God to make the difference in somebody else's life. Answering the call of God will cost you. Jesus said this. He said, count the cost. It'll cost you sleep. Sometimes it will cost you energy. It will cost you effort and cost you time. It might even cost you some money, and it will certainly cause you some pain, but it will always be worth it. The call of God is always about the needs of others. Let me tell you, very plainly, you see, sometimes people get the wrong idea about the call. They think, oh, I'm called. Listen, it's not about us. It's about those that God has called us to. It's always about other people. The Ninevites needed a prophet. His name was Jonah. The Israelites needed a deliverer. His name was Moses. Cornelius' house needed a preacher. His name was Peter. There are people around you that need something. Isn't it amazing that your call puts you in the place where you could be the answer to somebody's prayer? Somebody's been praying for healing, and God uses you to lay hands on the sick and pray for them. Somebody is trying to get free from drug addiction, and God uses you to show them the truth and to walk them through to freedom. I'm just telling you, God can use you. There may be somebody whose family, the marriage is just about over, just about to divorce, and all you did was invite them to church, and God changed their life. You could be the answer to somebody's prayer, but understand this, it's always about others. The Apostle Paul had a vision in Acts 16, 9 and 10. It says, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood up pleading with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he'd seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. You see, when you see a need, when you have a burden, there's a call. You know, I said this 2 weeks ago when I preached the message about being Jesus. You can't be everything to everybody. You can't meet every need yourself. But listen, when God puts a need before you and the opportunity and the means, oh, we need to realize that a lot of the time that has been brought before us for a reason. What I see sometimes is when somebody sees a need, they want everybody else to do it. Now, I got to tell you this, the way this works now. You see, every missionary I've ever met felt like, hey, if you aren't into missions, well, you're just not really saved. In fact, most people who really work with children kind of think, what are y'all doing in there playing church in the big room? We're in here where it really matters. And that's the way it is. If you really have a passion and a call for an area, you kind of feel that way, like, hey, everybody else, they need to get on board with what we're doing. But don't miss what you're supposed to be doing, trying to get everybody else to do it. No, you just, if God brings it to you and puts it on your heart, I'm telling you, you need to realize that there's a call there. But the call is always about others. Answering the call will bring great confidence in your life. There's a verse of scripture that's often quoted. It's one of my favorite verses, but we kind of pass over one small portion of it. It's Romans 8:28, and it says this: we know that in all things, that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. You see, everything doesn't work together for good for everybody. That's not what it says. Well, we can get the next part and pretty much at least theoretically include 3/4 of America, because 3/4 of America says, I love God. I love God. Oh, sure, I love the Lord. But it's not just those who love the Lord. It also says those who are the called according to his purpose. And I'm just telling you that this verse of scripture is written about people who truly love God and are answering the call. They're doing what God wants them to do. Do you notice that? Called according to his purpose. See, God has a purpose for your life. And when you are serving him, when you're truly loving him and answering the call of God, you can know this: in the end, you win. You're going to overcome. You're more than a conqueror through him who loved you. He's going to make a way. You can have great confidence. When you're answering the call of God and doing what he wants you to do, you can know, no matter what the battles, what the struggles, that when it's all said and done, God's going to work it all out for good. That's confidence. It comes when you answer the call. Answering the call requires that we concentrate our focus on what's before us. Looking back will keep you from doing what God wants you to do today and tomorrow. The Apostle Paul said it this way, Philippians 3, 13 and 14. He says, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So I want to tell you, as a fellow soldier who's been wounded myself, get up and go on. God's not through with you. I want to tell you, no matter how great yesterday's victories were, you can't go back. See, some people aren't doing what God wants them to do today because they're so focused on what happened in the past. You know, one of the amazing things about God's grace is that we're free from our past to pursue what God has for us today. And I just want to say this very clearly. Listen, whatever has happened up to this point, whatever mistakes you've made, whatever disappointments and hardships have come, whatever failures, whatever sins, listen, none of that negates the call of God, that God can still use you irrevocable. I'm just telling you, he's not done with you. That's grace. And the last thing I want to tell you about the call of God this morning is that answering the call will bring great reward. Mark 10, 28 through 30 says that Peter began to say to Jesus, "We've left all and followed you." And Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children, lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive a hundredfold, now in this life, in this time, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." 100-fold. He's talking about the richest kind of life. He's talking about an abundant life. When you answer the call, you make sacrifices. You have to be willing to do things that make you uncomfortable. You have to be willing to go places maybe you didn't want to go. But here's the end result, that he will bless you over and over and over again. He says 100 times. That's a reward. It's a great reward for those who answer the call. It is the richest, blessed, best kind of life. Revelations 22 and 12, Jesus says, "And behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." You answered that call. You work for the Lord. You make a difference in the lives of others. You make a difference in eternity. And God will reward you. I'm telling you this morning, whether you've been serving the Lord for 40 years or you've been living for yourself to this very day, there's a call for you. It's from God. He has a purpose for your life, and he wants to use you. I want you to stand with me, and as we pray, I'd like for our prayer partners to come. Father, I thank you for the call of God on each and every one of us, that, Lord, that you want to use every single one of us, that we're all important to you, that to you we're all useful. Oh, Jesus, that you can make every one of us, no matter where we are, what's gone on, and you can make us a vessel meet for the Master's use. Father, I just pray this morning that you accomplish in us what you desire, that you might accomplish through us what you desire. In Jesus' name, amen. I told you at the beginning of the service that the Christian life starts with a call. It is a call from Jesus to come to him. He says, "Come to me. You who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest." I'm telling you, Jesus is calling those of you who are out of fellowship with him, who don't have that real relationship with him. He's calling you to himself. For some of you here this morning, you realize that too much of the time it's just been about you and what you wanted, and you realize this morning there's a call that God has something more for you. Some of you, maybe you just realize that, you know what, I want to be used of God in a greater way. And you just want to say like Isaiah, "Here I am, Lord. Send me. Here I am." Whatever way the Holy Spirit might be dealing with you, if you need prayer this morning for any reason, if you've come to the service with a burden on your heart, these prayer partners are here to pray with you and to minister to you. So I'm going to dismiss the congregation. And as we dismiss, I encourage you to come for prayer. The dismissal is very simple this morning. Answer the call. Answer the call. Lord bless you.